On 1116 SEN, Chasing Birdies with Mark Allen and Craig Spence.
Evening, folks. Welcome to Chasing Birdies. Big show on the way. Of course, it is a big show on the way. It wouldn't be the same these days. Not these days without the 99 Australian Masters champion, Craig Spence. Good to see you, Craig.
Good to see you, Marco. Good to see you finally now, Marco. Straight off the top.
Yeah.
I was in a coffee shop near my house the other day.
Yeah, good coffee?
Yeah, good coffee.
Cappuccino man, or are you a latte kind of guy?
Cappuccino.
Right. Yeah.
And on the wall is a photo from about 19—I'll have to check it. Yeah. Early 1900s.
Early 1900s.
Yep. Of the Beaumaris area.
Right.
All right.
Yep.
So you can see Half Moon Bay. So it goes up into Black Rock there.
Beautiful.
And so I'm looking at Royal Melbourne, and the golf course is nothing like.
Were you looking
nothing like.
Well, you might have been looking at some of the Sandringham holes.
Yes. No.
There is no Royal Melbourne there, right?
What are you talking about?
So what I'm saying is, I texted to Clate, our mate Clate.
Yeah, yeah.
He said he thinks it's RM before Mackenzie RM. And
well,
I didn't even know.
I want to see that picture.
I'm about to tweet it out to my 14...
Well, so that, what coffee shop is it? I want to go down and have a look at the coffee shop now.
Poor old coffee shop. Give that people a big...
What's the coffee shop?
I'll try and find the name of the coffee shop. It's around the corner.
You don't even know the name of the coffee shop?
It's in the Seaview Shops. It's the one around the corner.
Bluff Road?
No. It's on Balcom Road, but it's just around the corner into Church Street or Church Road. Near the Seaview Shops.
Oh boy, I don't know what the Seaview Shops are. You've got no idea how to get a freebie. If you find the name of the shop, then you mention it. Then when you go back there, they'll give you a coffee.
Well, I'm going to mention it in a minute.
So there was a golf course there before Mackenzie weaved some magic. Is that what happened? Because I didn't know that was the case. So we want to see it.
You want to see it. There's greens here that are completely surrounded by sand.
Yeah, well, that's just stupid.
It's like Pine Valley. Stuff.
But you can't do that. That's a bit silly.
No, it looks extraordinary.
Well, now, I want to see.
The reason I just bring it up out of nowhere.
Have you tweeted it yet?
Is you never know, not yet. You never know who out there's listening that might want to call in and give us a little bit of background. But I did not realize that RM was a completely different course.
Well, look, I knew that Sandringham. Well, I didn't know. I was positive that Sandringham was part of Royal Melbourne once upon a time. A caller thinks it might be Watkins Bay Cafe.
That's it. That's exactly it.
Can we get the address, please, caller? Can the caller tell us what the address is?
I want to go down and check it out.
She's
got to close the store. She's got to close up.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to go check. What date again? What date?
Can we go and have a coffee there?
Yeah, I reckon.
And we might get free coffees for forever. Finey?
Well,
what do you reckon?
There might be a group of mad golfers going down there tomorrow.
Watkins Bay, having a look at this picture. They got a lot of old photos of Beaumaris area.
Did they have the rail line up? There used to be a rail line.
Yeah, there's a picture of the tram.
Yeah.
There used to be a tram that ran from Beaumaris down to Sandringham, I think.
Yeah, I knew that. I wish it was still there.
326 Balcom Road, Beaumaris.
326 Balcom Road, Beaumaris. The Watkins
Beaumaris
Bay Cafe.
Watkins Bay Cafe.
I wonder if they'll get a little spike tomorrow. A lot of golf people live in that area. Well, that's great. I want to see the photo. Have you tweeted it yet or not?
Well, I can't talk and tweet at the same time.
Well, that's no good.
Tweet.
That is no good.
Tweety bird could.
But you know what? The other thing is I'm learning a little bit about Woodlands because we're training at Woodlands now. You know, Woodlands was originally designed without any bunkers.
Well, that's just stupid.
No, that's why they've got these...
What sort of a person would do something like that?
It's probably the same. Well, if you want to delve into St. Andrews, how it was designed.
Well, no one knows.
But making golf courses 130 years ago was a little bit more difficult than today.
Yeah. Actually, one of the great things when you drive into Royal Melbourne, they've got the hoe that was
used. That's a bit rude.
They've got the hoe
that
was used. It was pulled by horse and cart.
Yeah,
poor thing. To actually develop the golf course. So I think, you know, back in those days, you're probably right. And that's why I think, finally, the best old golf courses, they're the best because they didn't have the equipment to make these massive, massive greens. They actually made small greens, which adds to a golf course.
And they had to use the terrain.
Yeah.
And so they would look at the terrain and not...
That's
not,
it.
Not obliterate it, but think how they could use it.
Correct. And they became very minimalist. And that is what makes a beautiful golf course. If you actually use that terrain, one, you've got to have the terrain, but two, you've got to have the sand as well.
Well,
no one doubts what they've done down there, but I want to see the picture.
I'm going to tweet it out in the break.
All right, good.
Have you got a top 10 tonight?
Top 10 that's actually a top 5?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, what's our top 5 tonight?
Top 5 cheating stories.
Top 5 cheating stories in the history of golf.
Yeah.
Well, if you've got a nomination, 0433 981116. Top 5 cheating stories in the history of the great game of golf. We'll do that a little later in the show.
Do you know that today marks a historic day in the United States for the man who delivers the most famous top 10 on American TV?
Casey Kasem?
David Letterman.
Oi! Why? Okay. What's going on?
Is he finished?
It's his last show.
It's his last show tonight.
Wednesday night, American time.
I want to watch that.
Do you laugh out loud at Dave Letterman?
It's tomorrow our time, but it's Wednesday night, American time. Pardon?
Do you laugh out loud at Dave Letterman?
I would if I watched him, but I never watched
him.
Yeah,
I do.
Is he too clever?
No. He's just sneaky funny. Sarcastic funny. Funny face. You know.
How long did he do that show for?
I'll tell 20, you. 30 years. Yeah, finally I'll get it up.
I'll tell you.
While he's doing that... I know we had some good victories. Minji Lee did well. She's 18 years old, gone from 59 in the world to 19 on the Rolex rankings. So that's a big effort. Now he's thrown the US Open. So well done to Minji. Rod Pampling. Now, that was a story.
Yeah, it was.
That was a story. Actually, Rod Pampling spoke today. Have we got that ready to go? Yeah, Rod Pampling spoke a little bit with the Morning Glory Boys. He was really, really good. Let's have a listen, because if you don't know the story... He won for his fifth time over there in the States, but his father passed away very recently. I think it was like maybe 10 days before he hoisted the trophy. Let's have a listen to Rod Pampling.
Anytime you win is big, and then you throw in the situation with Dad passing, and I don't know how to describe it, but it was just amazing, and certainly helps put things in a new direction for the golf, and I can really focus in and look for higher goals. You know, you just think of Dad and all that. It just brought a calming effect, and it was just a lot more relaxed. Things didn't bother me. You know, before you'd get upset with when you did something wrong or whatever, and it just for whatever reason, we just let it slide, and, you know, look what happens. So hopefully good things to come.
There he was, Rod Pampling. I speak with the guys in the morning. I'm a bit jealous of the boys in the Morning Glory. They've got the right time frame to speak to the golfers overseas.
Yes.
They get a lot of good guests on Morning Glory. So if you aren't listening to the boys, you should be if you love your golf, because they get some very, very good golf guests. And Annie Maher and Andrew Gaze do a great job early days in the morning. What do you make of that? That's an unusual win. I mean, I understand.
Oh, yeah.
I understand people winning when they've just got a new addition to the family. I do.
Yeah.
I understand that clearly. I understand even people winning when they've found love. I understand that. Winning in that situation, when Dad passes on, I don't reckon I'd be able to play. So, I mean, everyone's different. Everyone mourns. I'm not saying done the wrong thing. But that would be a really unusual feeling. I reckon he described it pretty well.
Well, it'd be one of the hardest. It'd be one of the hardest things.
Yeah.
To play on. And Tiger,
look, that would be enormously difficult. But what did you make of Tiger prior to the last tournament he played in, saying, it's just been it's a terrible week for me. It's the anniversary of his father's passing, and he and his girlfriend had broken up. Now, I've got to say, I would have thought that that's sort of life, and that he really press conferenced it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gone out public with that.
No.
You just keep that to yourself, wouldn't you?
But hang on. We're always asking Tiger and criticising Tiger that he doesn't give anything, and he finally gives something, and you're whacking him on the head?
Yeah, good
not,
point.
Not for giving something, but I just think he's socially not developed as a human, you know.
Oh, I agree with that.
It felt funny. I'm not saying it's wrong.
Yeah.
he can feel however he wants to feel, but he really delivered it as though he was enormously brave just to be standing on the first tee.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. What you said then, no one's actually said too often, Mark Fine, is that socially, when you say undeveloped, I think that's incredibly accurate. I don't think he gets it. I don't think he gets what it is to be a normal human being.
Yeah, that's
right. And he doesn't handle situations, it doesn't seem with the clarity that we expect a normal person to handle situations.
You see, what happens is people that are born into a life that is obviously going to be fishbowl and very different are brought up now to really guard against it. So you get somebody like Prince William who just goes out of his way to do normal things.
Yep.
And he comes and he's made it almost his number one priority not to be detached from society. Whereas Tiger was just brought up to play golf.
Yep.
And in doing so, he became detached from the real world.
Yeah.
Hey, can I say something?
Of course.
We underestimate how normal Jack and Arnie were for their American royalty, sports royalty, right?
Yep.
And world sports royalty.
And likeable characters.
Very likeable. But I'll tell you a story. Ian Leggett was a good mate of mine on tour.
Yeah, Canadian
Ian Leggett,
guy.
Canadian guy.
I knew him. I knew Ian
Leggett
very well.
Had a huge amount to do with Ronald McDonald House. He had a sponsorship with McDonald's going way back, but he had a huge commitment to the charity.
He had
right?
that on his bag when I used to play
he
with
had,
him in Canada
from
in 1990.
From day one.
Yeah.
And in 2001 at the Memorial, Jack's tournament, Ian Leggett was passing by Jack. And he said, "Mr. Nicholas, I have some stuff. I'm heavily involved with Ronald McDonald House. I have some stuff coming up for a huge charity event that I would love for you to sign." And he said, "No problem, Ian. Grab it and I'll sign it now." He said, "No, Mr. Nicholas, it's back in my car. It's going to take me 20 minutes to get back there and get it." He said, "Don't worry about that, Ian. I'll wait for you." Right?
Yeah.
And Ian went. He said it took him 20 minutes to get to his car, get the stuff, you know, and run back out towards the driving range or wherever it was. Though, and sure enough, he was still standing there and he signed everything. He had about 12 or 13 things to sign.
Great story.
Unbelievable. Palmer was the same. They were just so normal for what they went through.
I met a guy very recently with David Schwartz who was lucky enough to be invited to Augusta to play golf with Jack Nicklaus. So, Jack's a member at Augusta, and after dinner, after they played, after everything, these guys who had been guests at Augusta decided to go and take some photos. And what the caddies do quite often is they'll get on the green and all the caddies in the background will be jumping up and down as you hold the putt, right? So, they're doing all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, they've been doing it for about an hour.
Yeah.
And someone called them and said, "Hey, guys, you better get going. You're keeping Mr. Nicholas." And they said, "What are you talking about?" And they said, "Well, Jack's been waiting for you to finish up because you're not allowed to be on the premises by yourselves without a member." So he was just parked in his car at the front. He knew exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
They're giving him updates. And when the guy finally contacted him, he said, "Oh, that's okay. Don't worry. I mean, I know it's something you've never done before, and I don't blame you for wanting to do all that sort of stuff." That's Jack just sitting in his car waiting for these guys to mess around with the camera. I mean, you hear these stories.
Yeah.
See, Tiger Woods would never do that, and probably not many people
would. Our man, the big shark, would never do that.
I reckon the shark would.
The great white shark would not do that.
Well, he's not a member of Augusta either. So
is Jack a genuine member?
Yeah, he's a member.
So he was invited to be a member.
Yeah.
Right?
And, you know,
is Arnie a member?
To
be a member.
Arnie's a member. He's a member. They're both members.
Are they the only two past champions invited?
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm not sure. I imagine Gary Player is a member.
You imagine he would be.
I imagine Gary Player is a member. But they're actual members. They're not...
Not honorees?
They are members.
Okay.
Yeah, they're 100% members. Hey, I've got a friend, Kevin Youngblood. His boss, he lives in Dallas. His boss is a member of Augusta.
Yeah.
And Kevin was there one year with Jack. And... they're in an elevator in the clubhouse, and Jack's gone, "Hi, I'm Jack Nicklaus," to Kevin Youngblood. Kevin's gone, "I'm Kevin Youngblood." Great name, Kevin Youngblood. Great name, I'm Kevin Youngblood. And they got the talking. he started talking with Kev.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you know, you're playing today? He goes, yeah, I'm trying to build a golf course in China. He said, so what I've done is I've invited all the Chinese people who are umming and ahhing about whether they're going to build this course. So how about that for a business deal? How about that for a sticker?
You know, invite them.
So
to,
they're umming and ahhing whether Jack should actually build the golf course for them. You know, it's between him and, I don't know, who knows, Ben Crenshaw or Tom Doak, whoever. So what Jack's done and said, I'll tell you what, why don't you come to my golf club and we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
So they've all turned up at Augusta. He's got two groups on. They signed at lunch. How about that little deal? Yeah, they signed at lunch. So, I mean, yeah, you hear all these great stories. It's funny what ticks you off. Hey,
That Arnold Palmer documentary recently.
Yeah.
His secretary was saying how Arnie goes through all the letters he receives.
Yeah.
And some of them ask him to sign stuff and then an envelope with a stamp to send it back to them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, some of them forget to put the stamp in there. Right?
Yeah.
So Arnie picks up the stamp. But it happens so often every year. He spends roughly, I think it's about 100 grand a year.
In stamps?
On stamps.
Well, he sends 100,000 stamps a year, does he?
He spends it's some astronomical figure.
Come on.
In stamps.
$1,000.
In return stamps.
Come on.
You don't believe me. He doesn't believe me, Vine.
I don't believe it.
Neither do you.
I actually was doing something else. Now,
come on.
I'm leaving.
You're going off?
Where are you going?
I'm starving.
Hey, okay, get some meat. That's a nice fish and a bit of salad.
All I can say is when you do your top 10 list of five. Top,
yes.
Yeah, that's the way, we operate.
That's the way we roll. Cheats in golf.
Mm-hmm. Have you got one?
Cheating incidents.
Oh, yeah. Don't take one of mine, by the way.
Well, I can just tell you, I have written an article and twice laughed out loud. There has never and will never be another person like Morris Flitcroft.
All right, I'll have a read about Morris.
Oh, you read the whole article. There's actually a book called Phantom of the Open, but you read about Morris Flitcroft and tell me that you will not cry.
Righto.
Okay.
Fine dog. Thank you. I'll see you a little bit later. We'll be back with the Craig Spence top 10 list. We're also going to have a chat to Lucas Herbert, who plays for Commonwealth, and he beat Ryan Ruffles in the final as Commonwealth went on the win. And by the way, if anyone knows Heather Galatley's phone number, who plays for Huntingdale and has been playing pennant for Huntingdale for a long, long time, can you tell Heather to call 9429 1116? Because we'd like to talk to her as well. Righto, Masters champion of 99. That picture you tweeted about the old Royal Melbourne in the Watkins Bay Cafe, 326 Belcombe Road by Morris. We'll tweet it out and we'll tweet it out with the address of the cafe as well. Just tell them the boys from Chasing Birdies sent you. See what happens. Well, we'll see what happens. All right.
All right.
This is where you shine. Craig Spencer's Top 10 List, brought to you by absolutely nobody. We really got to fix that.
Did we get a sponsor
intro up? No, we haven't got a sponsor. If you'd like to sponsor the Top 10 List, that's actually a Top 5.
You'll get your money's worth.
Just email mlon@sen.com.au. We'll see what we can do. What are we doing tonight for people who have just jumped in the car? Your Top 5 List tonight is
cheating stories. Top 5 cheating stories of all time.
In the world of golf.
Yeah, in the world of pro golf. I was going to say, should I invite anyone to call in with good cheating stories? Because no one really wants to dob their mates in, do they?
If you've got a good local cheating story.
Without names.
Yeah, with names. Or without. But if you've got a good local cheating story, like a really nasty cheat story type. Yep. Action, 9429
1116. All right, here we go, Mark.
Hey, before you do, Benny in Parkdale's called in. G'day, Benny.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Yeah, good, Benny.
Good, Benny.
You're talking about the photo that Craig Spence tweeted out.
Yes, I am. And I don't know if you guys are aware, but if you go back to, I think it was 1897 to 1914, are you aware there was actually a nine-hole golf course on the Army Barracks at Braeside Park?
Oh, really?
Braeside Park? I don't even know where that is.
Where is that?
Well, it's beside Southern Golf Club. So if you...
Oh, yeah.
The park beside Southern was back in the, World War One, was actually had Army Barracks on it. And actually had a nine-hole golf course and a racetrack on it.
It's funny you say that, Benny, because every time you drive past it, you think, gee, a golf course would be nice in there, don't you? Because it's got all the native bushes and heather and bracken and sand. And
I do. Yeah, it's a good one.
Yep.
Thank you, Benny. Thank you, buddy. Righto.
All right, here we go.
Matt and Cheltenham's called in, so is Trash, and they've got a couple of cheating stories. But these are the cheating stories.
Top five.
Yeah, the top five.
All right, number five. These aren't... Vijay Singh comes in at number five for the Magic Pencil.
The Magic Pencil got kicked off the Australian Tour.
Kicked off the Australian Tour and broke more rules on and off the course, apparently, than anyone else in the history of Australian golf.
Now, you're talking with hushed tones. Come on. Let's get stuck into these people.
Number four is Jumbo Ozaki. Because I played with Jumbo and he, at one point, he had 125 into the hole.
Yeah.
And he had 3 wood out.
Yeah,
he was in the rough, and he waggled it behind the ball for about 30 seconds, and then he went to the 5 wood, and then he went to the 4 iron, and then he grabbed out pitching wedge and knocked it on the green.
So he flattened the grass down.
Yep.
What a cheat.
Number three, Tiger Woods.
Which incident?
And the Masters Committee. Because Tiger took an incorrect drop, Marco.
Yeah.
And then the Masters Committee gave him an incorrect ruling.
So who are you saying cheating here?
Both of them.
He signed an incorrect scorecard.
Yep.
And it was found to be incorrect.
Yep.
But the Masters Committee let him play.
He took an incorrect drop, signed an incorrect scorecard, and then they made an incorrect decision by allowing him to play on. Would you agree with that?
I think the Masters Committee have cheated by letting him play on the weekend. I think Tiger Woods was accidental.
All right, Gary Player.
Yes.
British Open at
Lytham.
Lytham?
Yep.
He's up against the wall.
Clubhouse.
He's up against
wall.
The clubhouse. The cameraman's up above him.
Yeah.
He takes a backswing and takes more sand from behind the ball, enough to make a cloud of dust go across 50 people, looks up at the cameraman and says, "Oi, keep it quiet up there."
That's right.
And now he goes back to play his shot. And he's got a beautiful, clean lie behind his ball.
Some would say
word
that's
is
cheating.
The best part about that was the old duck that had her head out the window right behind him. Do you remember?
Yes.
She was just watching it. And she was 4 feet from Gary Player.
You can actually Google that. Google that. Gary, type in Gary Player cheating and then tip on videos and you'll find it in there. You'll find it. But an absolute cheat.
But number one, top five... cheating story of all time is Colin Montgomery. Monty, we need to talk about Monty more on this show.
I don't even know what Monty's done.
Indonesian Open, right?
Righto.
Yep. I'm going to pull it up here.
Yeah.
Indonesian Open. He is on the edge of a bunker.
Yeah.
He starts off on the edge of the bunker.
What?
It's right up against it. He cannot take a stance. He cannot take a stance. He's falling.
Right. So he's
and the hooter goes for dark.
Right. Hooter's gone.
Hooter's gone. He comes back the next day, and he has moved the ball and takes a drop because he marks the ball.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
dark.
As you do.
He is now the cameras are back on,
yes.
And they show Monty 5 or 6 feet from the bunker.
He's got a full swing.
Not only that. He's got the best stance you could have possibly imined. I think it was even a...
So did they pick him up on it, or...?
So I'll just read this for you.
Yeah, go on.
Did Colin Montgomery cheat at the 2005 Indonesian Open? Some say yes. The European Tour and Monty say no.
Oh.
That wasn't enough for some of his peers. Sandy Lyle outrightly calling him a cheat in the wake of his World Golf Hall of Fame. Anyway, I had something here I was going to read, Marco, but now I've lost it. Right?
Oh, well, that doesn't really work for anybody.
No. It's a second round. Monty needs a high finish, a minimum top three to move into the world top 50 world rankings, right?
Yeah.
And get into the Players' Championship. He's not having a good round. He's on the 14th hole. Monty put his approach shot into the greenside bunker. Yep. The ball was in a bad spot near the edge of the green, near the edge of the deep bunker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Monty struggled to take a stance. He wanted to have both feet outside. He couldn't.
So what happened?
He couldn't find a stance that worked without having one foot in and one foot out. Monty struggled with a stance for a while. And it appeared he would have... Meanwhile, the weather worsened, black clouds rolled in, and they called the...
So what happened the next day? He's just come back and dropped his ball and he's okay.
Where he played the shot from was, several metres from that spot. Anyway...
Well, that is cheating.
It's not that good of a story, but it's number one this week.
It's number one this week. All right. Matt's called in from Cheltenham. G'day, Matt.
Hey, Matty.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Yeah, good, Matt. What do you think about the top five list tonight? Do you like it?
Yeah, as Hutchie would say, yes.
Right, eh? All right.
Thank you so much.
Have you got a cheating story for us?
Yeah, this I'll promise I'll put lots of Swiss cheese holes in it and not disclose the person, but those in those circles actually know who it is. It was actually a very high profile captain of industry who was playing a match at Q. This is quite recent, inside 18 months. Yes. You know the story, Mark?
Yes, I do. But it has been denied, it's been denied so much, I think it almost could be true. But go on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So playing a par three, ball goes over the back. Him and his partner, it looks like it's gone over the back, couldn't find it. The player magically finds his ball, holds the putt only to find that his original ball was actually in the cup with a hole in one that did result in a club suspension.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I actually heard that the ball went towards the trees to the right of the 18th, and he said he found his ball, chipped it up, and then someone else found the original ball had hit the tree and gone into the hole, and he got dusted that way. But, I mean, that has been denied, that story. Thank you, Matt. Thanks for calling. Trash is on the road. G'day, Trash.
G'day, guys. My story is very similar to that one, but it happened at the Box Hill Golf Club.
Ooh.
Playing late in the evening into the sun, not sure where the ball went, playing with the captain of the club. A guy said, oh, no, I found my ball, and it was in the hole. 6 month suspension.
Oh, yeah, six months.
Good. That's no good.
6 months.
So he actually knocked it in the hole, said he found it somewhere else. A little 6 months.
What do you think of the... The 6 month suspension, Margo?
What do I think of a 6 month suspension?
Yeah.
Oh,
they seem bit harsh.
They seem to be handed out willy nilly at some golf clubs.
Do you ever cop one?
Yeah. Huntingdale 7.
Oh, yeah.
Huntingdale 7 got rolled. Don't ask me how that buggy ended up on the roof because I will never tell in a million years.
You don't have to tell me. I already know the whole story.
Well, I'm not going to say it on air anyway. Hey, I'll tell you what. The pennant season's done and dusted. Yep. Commonwealth won the Division 1 seniors, and also Huntingdale with the ladies won the ladies tournament. Lucas Herbert, who is a big name in Victorian golf these days, was part of the Commonwealth team, and he's joined us on Chasing Birdies. Good on you, Lucas. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, boys. How are you?
Mate, I'm well. Got any cheat stories for us? We've been talking about them.
Don't want to incriminate too many people here.
Righto, we'll leave it alone. Lucas, the talk is that you were 17 under par when you beat Ryan Ruffles at number one last week. How many under were you?
I think I would have been seven, boys.
Seven holes with four to play. Seven under with four to play. Pretty good, Lucas.
It's got the job done, but Ryan wasn't quite on his game, fortunately.
Well, he was only about three under, was he?
Yeah, I think he was two or three.
Hey, Lucas, tell us, what about the team? I understand that the Commonwealth senior pennant team, collectively, I think you won 6-1, didn't you? Or 5.5, 1.5, something like that.
Yeah, 5.5, 1.5.
I understand collectively the team might have been 25 under par.
Yeah, I think it was something like that.
So give us a rundown. Who played number two?
So Fraser Drew, another state team player, played number two. He played Ben Eccles.
Yeah, I used to play with his dad, Evan Droop, a long time ago.
Yeah, and I think he finished six under.
Yeah, right.
When he finished on the... I think he finished on the 17th.
He finished on the 17th?
Yeah. Six under?
Yeah.
He's six under par at Royal Melbourne, and his match went to 17. Righto, so it's a fair standard.
Fair standard.
Who played number three?
Number three was Craig Hassthorpe. He finished about even, I think.
Yep.
Number four was Tom Cooling. And I think he was 5 under par as well, or 6 under par. Yeah, no, he was 6 under par, sorry.
Tom Cooling. All right. He beat Leonard Chin. Is that right?
Yep. Who else was, we had
Craig...
Cameron John. In the he's in the junior state team. I think he finished 5 under.
Oh, no, he beat Luke Mills, it says here. What about Matthew Hinckley?
Yeah, I think Matty finished about 2 under.
All right, well, he'll be lucky Gary to get a game next year, by the sounds of it. Only 2 under par.
Yeah, had an off day. And I think Gary finished about even as well.
Well, how do you say his last name?
Sluice.
Gary Sluice.
Yep.
Ah, the Sluicester.
The Sluicester.
Hey, right. Lucas, what was it like out there? What were the? I heard there were, you know, quite a crowd out there.
Yeah, there was a few people out having a look, which was really good. Yeah, me and Ryan obviously loved having everyone out there. Ryan's been pulling some massive crowds all year, but yeah, it was pretty cool. Like, it was just an absolute peach of a day at Royal, and the course was in such good nick as well. So you couldn't have asked for a better day for it. But it was pretty fun out there.
I could imagine. I got to play on those Royal Melbourne Greens, Lucas. About a month ago. It was a swap day with Kingston Heath. And, mate, I had never seen greens like it. I reckon I played, I don't know, 6 or 7 major events at Royal Melbourne, and that morning they were as good as I'd ever seen. How do you rate just the surface?
Yeah, well, they were pretty good on Sunday. Just because of the weather all last week, with it being pretty wet, they were a touch soft for Royal Melbourne standards anyway. But, no, they were unbelievable. Like, they were, yeah, as you'd expect from Royal Melbourne in a tournament, I guess. You know, just rolled so smoothly, and I didn't have any of my putts jump offline all day.
Royal's almost, well, it's gradually, over the last couple of years, it's gotten back to its really good, best quality greens and fairways in Melbourne.
Well, not the fairways. I don't rate the fairways as highly.
Because of the legend?
Yeah, I don't like the legend, Cooch. I think the ball sits down. I reckon the ball sits down a bit, Lucas. I mean, you've played on fairways right around the world. You're only a young man these days. How do you rate the fairways out there? I mean, the course, you know, is untouchable. I think most people agree the composite anyway is the top 5 golf course in the world. What do you reckon about those fairways, the legend, Cooch?
Yeah, I'm kind of used to them because we play at Commonwealth with the same grass. So we are kind of used to them a little bit, but... I guess they're good for the course because, you know, Royal doesn't have a lot of length to it, I guess. It's tricks around the green, so it does help it play its length. But I guess, I prefer, you know, the sort of tighter fairways, I guess, similar to something you get in America. But, you know, you can't really complain with Royal Melbourne. They are still pretty good. I think we're probably picking at straws for that one.
Lucas, do you prefer... playing off the sort of the softer American style fairways, do you, that are tighter and sort of more less, it's less of a grainy grass, it's more of a sort of winter grass, yeah?
Yeah, the sort of the courses you probably, I've played them in Chicago where they're, the grass is sort of, it's yeah, I guess a little bit softer and it's mown quite short.
So rye grass.
Yeah, I probably prefer that myself, and sort of we practice a lot around Spring Valley as well with VIS, and we tend to get a bit of it around there too. It sort of gets quite short and quite tight.
It's funny, isn't it, Lucas? Because when you chip off that staff and when you hit pitches, because the grass goes straight up and it's a softer type grass, it's really easy to hit pitch shots and chip shots. Yet you see local players playing off our couch, and you know I reckon it's hard for a lot of people not to know which way the grain's going. And you see so many people and even good players actually trying to chip off our couchy stuff in winter when it's really tight and. They haven't got much chance, do they? I mean, do you find that? Do you find actually chipping off our style, couch type of grass in winter is the hardest grass in the world to chip off?
Yeah, it gets pretty difficult when you've sort of got that tight little chip shot. You know, we just got to carry it up on top of a ridge or something like that, and it's back into the grain. It can get a little bit of guesswork in there. So, well, I guess if you're missing greens and you know, maybe hitting it in those sort of spots, you probably, you know, you deserve that sort of tricky little shot. And I guess that's what makes the courses so tough. But yeah, I do agree with you. They are quite tough when sort of the grain's running all over the place and it's playing around with the bounce and it makes it quite difficult.
So, Lucas, do you prefer to play American courses in general, the way they're designed?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I just love America. I think it's a lot of fun over there. But I feel like my game's pretty set up for American style courses. Like, the rough doesn't seem to faze me too much, and I actually I really prefer the sort of the quicker greens that get pretty slopey. And I guess I'm still sort of, as Marco would have seen a couple of years ago at the Vic Open, I'm still sort of learning how to play a lot of wind shots that you sort of get in Europe. So I feel like my game's probably suited to America at this point. But I'm heading to Europe on Monday, actually, for a few events, and hopefully we can sort of learn a bit on those style courses as well.
Lucas, congratulations to you and the Commonwealth Golf Club, and also the Huntingdale winning Division 1 Ladies Pennant as well. It's a fantastic effort by the girls. Lucas, good luck overseas, buddy. It's another feather in your cap beating Ryan in the Division 1 final, so well done.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Good on you.
Lucas Herbert there, young star, moving forward, and hopefully we're going to see some big things from Lucas down the track. Righto, let's go. It's quiz time, 9429-1116. If you want to quickly jump on, the winner tonight's going to get the $100 ping at. Where are we going this week, buddy?
We're going to go to the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth.
Wentworth, all right. So we're going to the European Tour.
You ever played Wentworth?
No, I've been there.
I've heard it's overrated since Ernie got a hold of it.
No, the players don't like it. The players don't like it, it's fair to say.
I want to play Sunningdale one day.
Yeah, I'd love to play Sunningdale. I'd love to play there. Let's get going with the quiz. Question number one. Michael's in queue. G'day, Michael.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Yeah, I'm well. Good, you sound good, mate. You've got a good attitude. That's what we like. Question number one, please.
The world number one had a big win at the Wells Fargo last week. It was his 11th win on the PGA Tour. Where was his first win back in 2010?
I wouldn't ask that.
Absolutely no idea, guys.
I wouldn't ask that question, Michael, unless there was something, you know,
going to happen this last week.
Something about the tournament that he actually just won.
No.
Sorry.
Josh is in Aspendale. G'day, Josh.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Do you know the answer, Josh?
Good, Josh.
Was it the Wells Fargo?
Yes. That's right. That's why I asked that question. I wouldn't expect anyone to know.
No, of course not.
Tournament unless
clever the way you did that.
Yeah, right. Thanks, buddy. Question number two.
He beat his own course record in round three. What did he shoot? What did Rory shoot, Josh?
Was it 61?
Yeah.
Well done, Joshy.
Good work, Josh.
And good attitude.
He seems a little bit nervous, but it's okay. Rory, question number three.
Question three. Rory has won all but one major. Which is that, Josh?
The Masters.
Yes.
Josh, you're awfully close here. This is it.
Man, a few words, this
money
Josh
shot,
character.
Money shot.
All right, Joshy, final one. What clubs did Rory play before making the switch for the $25 million a year to Nike? What clubs was he using before that?
Pings.
Oh, what? Oh. Josh. He just said it like confidently too. And goodness, he wasn't
even close.
I know this bloke knows it for sure.
Dean's in Dino. Dean, I can't believe you're going to win the quiz.
Dino.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
We're going to change the question on you.
No, I'm disappointed.
No, we're not.
You're going to change it?
No, we're not. We're Come not. On. Get going.
Do you know the answer?
I'm going to take an educated. Was it Titleist?
Yes.
Bloody hell.
Dino,
Dean
you've come.
Has won the quiz.
You haven't called for months.
I know.
And
you
win it.
How many times have you won this year? Have you, this first time?
Yes, I think it is this year.
No, that's right. That's good. That's good. That's good. Dino, who do you want? We're going to the BMW Championship European Tour.
Oh, you're going to Euro,
Yes. McIlroy, $375. Rose, $11. Westwood, $26. Luke Donald, $29. Francesco, they don't win, these guys, $29. Donaldson, $31. I reckon he can win. Martin Keimer, $34.
Yeah, I think Rory will win it, but you can't go $375.
$275 will jump in. You make that an hour, Dean.
What? I think that's a good one, mate. What about Craig? You give me something. You know, you're a great man, a great tipster.
Well, as you were talking, I actually think Wentworth, again, it's going to be a bit sloppy and soft.
Marcus Fraser?
I'm thinking that Rory plays good on sloppy and soft.
Enough at $275.
You know, but is it worth it? No, it's not.
Marcus Fraser, $126.
But no, let's get serious here.
Let's get serious. He's not going to win in that company, Mark. He's a great man, and I love him to death, but he loves throwing in the odd six and
seven. About Victor Dubuisson?
He's been out of form. I can't really. Look, I could have Justin Rose at 11s, but I I don't know if I could have Rory. Should we go with Justin? He's due for...
What about Brooks Koepka?
Yeah, what's he paying?
$46, mate. $46.
What's happened to Lee Westwood?
He can win. Brooks Koepka can win.
How is Lee Westwood?
You know what? I'll put 100 of my own money on. Let's have 100 on Brooks, and we'll stump up for Rory somewhere else.
Good on you. Nice. Go ahead, Dino.
Nice.
See you, bud. Take it easy.
See you, Dino.
Hey, we put a call out for Heather Glennelly from Huntingdale Golf Club, who has won, or she's a big part of the winning team at Huntingdale Division 1. She's jumped on the phone for us. Good on you, Heather.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Heather, congratulations.
Well done, Heather.
Another big win for Huntingdale on Divi 1.
Yeah, very surprising win, Mark, and we were absolutely thrilled with the day. Rank underdogs we were. You could have had long odds on us.
I bet. Hey, Heather, the reason I saw your name there, I thought, my God, you've been playing Pennant for a long... How long have you been playing Pennant for Huntingdale for?
Oh, do I have to be truthful?
I remember, Heather, I remember.
Since 78, Mark.
Since 78.
With your mother.
Yeah, Mum used to play.
Heather, the experience is so incredible in match play, don't you find? Do you find you win a lot of matches just through your experience or not?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, I think this year we had a great mix of experience and young talent. Helen Gubbles has been playing a long time and is a terrific player. And then the kids in the team have really matured and they've just been fantastic all year.
Tell me this, Heather, because I reckon you could almost set a record. You've been playing for that long, and I reckon Huntingdale has won the Division 1 flag an awful lot. How many winning teams have you been a part of? Have you done the maths?
No, I haven't, Mark. I'm guessing it's perhaps eight.
You might hold a record, Heather. I don't reckon anybody else in Victorian golf would have won 8 Division 1 flags, been part of that winning team. I reckon you hold a record.
Thanks, Mark.
I'm going to find out.
Just means I've been playing for a long time.
It means you're a bloody good player, is what it means, Heather.
We've had a fantastic record in women's pennant, and the culture of the club over all that time has been terrific.
You've done well.
I remember once Heather, Mum had the winning putt at Huntingdale, and she held at Metropolitan. She held the putt on the last to win. And you guys won that flag. And I remember just how happy you guys were. How happy were you this time around?
Well, tremendously happy. And the drama of the deciding match, Lisa Teo, is coming from 6 down after 7 to win on the 19th with a magnificent shot to about less than 2 feet.
Wow.
With everyone watching, was just terrific.
I can imagine.
She did a great job. Em Smith, the captain... 2 down with 5 to play, went birdie, par, par, birdie to close out her match. And Calista Doe had a great win, and Tracy Carter at number 7 had a great win. So really, we were never going to win it, Mark, until that enormous comeback.
Heather, thanks so much for calling in. We really appreciate it. Congratulations.
And well done to the rest of the girls, too.
Thanks guys.
Heather Gladly there. 8. She's been part of 8 Divi 1 teams that have won the flag. That's enormous.
Great effort.
Good on you, buddy. I'll catch you next week.
See you next week.
I think so. I think we're actually doing an outside broadcast next week from X-Golf. I think we are next week. I think we're doing an outside broadcast from X-Golf. Yes or no? We're not sure. We'll find out. If we are, I'll let you know during the week. Viney,
thanks, Mark.
Thanks for letting us talk golf on your show.
It's been fantastic.